Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And we are here this morning to discuss dreams, psychological dreams versus astral dreams, and getting into all the specifics about dreams. And we've spoken about dreams on the show many times before, but we always like to renew our topics. And as our listening audience is always growing, review what we've talked about before, as well as add to that. So callers, 914-338-0164 is our number for our listeners. If you'd like a reading, please do call and press 1 on your handset so we know that you would like a reading that raises your hand. That was a loud pop.
Yes.
I wonder what that came from. Anyway, sometimes we hear spirits here in our home, and they manifest in strange ways.
They sure do.
562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation the radio show can allow. And we invite our callers and listeners to join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can click on the follow button under our profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, as well as join us on Facebook and on Twitter. There are two accounts where you may join us. And I guess that's it. Callers, we get to you in about 15 to 20 minutes, so we'll be doing that shortly. Please stay in the queue so we can take your call in the order received. Dreams.
Dreams.
Is that Everly Brothers?
Dreams.
Dreams,
yeah.
What
I do is think of you, dream. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, Everly Brothers.
Sorry. Don't mean to take you off course here.
So,
dreams
exist on a couple of levels. The first two immediate levels are psychological dreams and psychic dreams.
Slash astral dreams.
Yeah.
Not necessarily psychic in terms of predicting the future, but psychic in terms of entering an astral state.
Right. A psychological dream can have psychic connotations or content in it. And of course, a psychic dream or an astral dream can be psychological as well in nature. Usually the difference when you're having a psychological dream, it really just feels like it's in your head. And you can almost feel that that's where it is. So our brains, we have little brain leaks. Our brains are filled with data, and our brains do not turn off when we sleep. Naturally, they don't, because we're not brain dead. Our brains are still working, or sending messages to our body. We're still on alert. So it just doesn't mean the TV's off, but not unplugged. And
we
so
process.
We can have,
you're saying
dreams.
You
in
process
our, in our
the
brain.
Daily events of life,
yes.
Or past events.
And what happens in that regard is that we seem to be asleep. We go into a sleep state. So we close our eyes, our blood pressure, everything goes down, and we go into a dream state. But our brains do not shut off, and they're unwired, and they keep playing. It's almost like you turn your TV off, but behind the blank screen is a show, and all you got to do is switch the screen and the show comes on. All you have to do is wake up, and you are simply out of your dream world, but it's still producing energy in your brain. So think of your brain as a TV, and it's also active and creative. So when you dream, you get to have the pleasure of activating impulses and desires and fears and obsessions and all kinds of symbolisms, including the vast array of history that's in your brain, as opposed to also visualizing things that could be and things like that. So your brain in a dream state does all of that. That is far different from an astral dream. In an astral dream, you actually leave your body. You're no longer your astral body, or if you want to call it your soul, leaves your body. So what the body perceives in that process is there's either a state of flying or lifting up. It could be that you're driving in a car. There's some sense of movement because the sleeping body is perceiving the energy of the astral body leaving the body via the silver cord, which remains attached to, and traveling. And that sleeping body is going to perceive that as some kind of sensation. We've got spirits in the back here. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to state, Neil, that when I have astral dreams, I don't often have a sensation of flying. Sometimes maybe there's transportation things going on in the dream, but that's not always a component of my dream. So differentiating between psychological and astral dreams isn't always so simple.
No.
as you know, whether you're traveling in the dream or not in a vehicle.
Well,
so to speak.
To some part, yes. But there's a liftoff. There's a departing. And so the brain, if it's a soft departing, almost like the difference between a helicopter or a plane taking off. And as you imagine, these UFOs just hover over the and kind of float up like air without mm-hmm. any noise. That could be the sensation that one might may perceive as the astral body leaving. So it would be very subtle in tone. You'd have to really apart
look
the
dream
and decide where, when, and if there was an astral exit out of the body.
Right. So, you know, let's talk about the aspects of karma and how karma appears in dreams, whether in a psychological dream or in an astral dream or a mixed form. Because, you know, we had a caller last week who had a very scary dream that was mostly psychological in content, but partially astral as well. The analysis was that, you know, this, I think it was about a knife being held to this person's throat, and the symbolism of the dream really canceled out any fear or worry that this was a psychic dream, that this was, you know, something she was predicting in the future. But it had psychological and astral content. But you can also go into an astral dream, have an astral dream, and have karmic elements in that astral dream because you're going into past lives and things
yeah.
like that.
You can,
but psychological as well.
Yes, you can have a psychological dream that is, its content has some karma in it. The difference between a psychological dream with karma, where you're reviewing something about your past or maybe reviewing something about a former life because you still have your pineal gland in your brain and that's accessing all energy, all knowledge, all things. So your brain does contain that kind of theater. However, when you have a karmic dream that is astral, you're actually leaving the body and traveling to that specific location, not just in your mind side, but in your soul's journey. You're actually going soul-wise
back into that,
past life. Zone, or you've actually entered by leaving the body an astral plane where there's a classroom or a mock stage of events that are taking place in a parallel universe that may not be specific to the concrete place you went to, but is a stage. It's like watching a play that is a representation of a real place, but it's staged on the stage. So you can leave the body and go to a quote stage where events are being reenacted according to your karmic journey.
So you're saying you can actually go to a stage, which is a reenactment, or into that past life, which gives, and you said parallel, which I was a word I was going to mention, assuming that time is circular, really, because I mean, on the earth, we're in linear time, but when we go into a dream state, we're really entering that kind of circular idea of time. So we can actually go into a past life that's really simultaneously occurring with our current life.
It's like the difference between going to a staged production of Ford's Theater and the Assassination of Lincoln, as opposed to actually getting going to the exact location and looking at the events firsthand in that location.
Right.
Or at least going through an historical tour and visiting Ford's Theater. So you can have it in mock design, which is still a representation of the actual area, or you can go to the actual area itself. Yes.
So, danger. Let's talk about danger, because if it's possible and probable that each one of us can travel into past life events, can it be dangerous in a dream state that we're doing this?
Whenever we go to sleep, it's dangerous.
I mean, obviously.
We're counting on our bodies to stay awake, so to speak, while we are asleep. That's why many of us die in our sleep, especially if we're weak, in a weaker state. When we go into a state
like elderly people, often elderly people die, or people that are under the influence of drugs and alcohol sometimes die in their sleep because they become vulnerable.
So going to sleep can be safety. We need it to maintain life, but it can also be dangerous, as we well know, because sometimes you don't want to go to sleep. You're supposed to stay up if you're freezing or if you're under the influence of something. Or like in the Vajra and the Body Snatchers, don't dare go to sleep. So in some respects, sleeping can be safe and it can be beneficial. Obviously, on some level, it's always beneficial. So when you go into a sleep-like state, you are entering a world of some imminent danger. Now, when you have a psychological dream and you have a bad dream, you can wake up with cold sweats. You can have panic attacks. So right there, on just a dream level itself, there's danger.
And callers, we're going to be getting to you in just a few minutes, so hold on, because we're about to wrap up in a few minutes. So stay in the queue. Okay.
So you can go into a deep state of fear by having a nightmare. Now, when you leave the body, you enter an astral realm where no holds barred. You can actually encounter freaky energies, dark energies, demons, evil spirits, just as you would if you were leaving your home and venturing out into the city. There are all kinds of inhabitants and entities out there that would potentially hurt you, knowing that you are a human, still a human soul, attached to a sleeping body and vulnerable to some form of attack. You can also, in the astral journey, enter a region that potentially, at least on an astral stage, is threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do people leave their body, go to an astral realm, and die. It doesn't usually happen. I don't even know of an account where it has. But you can.
Well, how can you really say if someone? I mean,
you can have a hearty scare for sure. And be pursued by energies and even be locked into a zone where you know for sure you were suffocating or drowning or some such thing. And it seems so real because you were actually entering the body of a past life body that you once inhabited.
Right. So much more to talk about. Should we take some calls, continue this later in the show or on Friday? Or is there something we wanted to say prior to going to the call?
No, let's go to the calls and whatever questions people may have.
Maybe they will pertain to the topic.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So first caller is 908. Then we have 928, then 724. That's the order for the first three that are getting on the air. So please do keep your place. Okay. 908. Hello. 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 908, you're on the air. Can you hear us? Okay, weird. 928, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you. Our previous caller could not hear us, so I didn't know if there was a problem with the sound for everybody or if they're on another line or something. What's your name?
My name is Maggie.
Maggie, hi. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you. And Maggie, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Arizona.
Okay. And Maggie, what's your birth date, please?
It's 3/5/54.
54. Okay. 8/18/9 27/9
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what brings you to the show today, Maggie?
Well, I had this interesting dream that I went up in the air regarding the interpretation of. It's a very strange dream.
Okay.
Should I proceed?
Please do.
Okay. I was dreaming that I was kind of like in a – I was dreaming that I was in a dream state. And in my dream state, my physical body was kind of like a – it was like a pile of steel ball bearings. It was like a
steel
pile
ball
of
bearings?
Them. Yes.
Your
and
body.
My conscious, yes. And my consciousness was basically, you know, hovering around these ball bearings. And then all of a sudden I realized that my parameter was being challenged. And I my consciousness immediately, it was so, it happened so fast that my body did not even get a chance to like reassemble itself. But my consciousness went immediately to the part of the parameter that I thought was being broached. And when I reached, as my consciousness was reaching the breach in the parameter, this amazingly strong voice came out like, "Who are you?" And it was so strong, I was even intimidated. And it was like a deep, war, kind of like a warrior male voice. And at the parameter, there was the scene, you know, like kind of like a stage scene. It was a scene of a Western kind of like an old Western type of movie sort of scene. And there was, you know, like a front porch of a general store with a barrel and a bench. And there was a figure sitting on the bench. And he was dressed in kind of like a Western costume. I can still see his face today, and I just stared at him, and he just stared at me. And I was intently staring at him, and I was waiting for just the tiniest little hint of a smile from his mouth, but he was just completely stone-faced, and we just kind of like stared off at each other, and then he disappeared. And that was the end of the dream.
Sounds like she's been watching West Wing.
Westworld,
that's what it is. Have you heard of that show, Maggie?
No. I haven't watched television for 20 years, so.
You're smart.
You're smart.
But this is a HBO series, and
based
it's just
movie.
Based on a movie from the 70s, right? Wasn't it a 1970s movie?
The original film was in the 70s, yeah.
But it's a science fiction, and it has Western content. But anyway, it was a joke. Regarding your dream.
What happened, Maggie, was that as you were leaving your body to go into the astral realm, you were having trouble. You were having trouble getting out of your etheric realm. Your soul left your body, your astral body via soul left your body. It started to move out into space, and you have an etheric electromagnetic realm around your body. And it was having trouble getting through that to venture out into the actual astral world. Now, the fact that you were having trouble may have been for a number of reasons, but some of the things you bring up have to do with a past life conflict. The steel bearings, and then the fact that you ultimately entered a Western scene. And a voice said, "Who are you?" Well, the past life suggests that in a past life, you were living in the Western days and you were either on a steel gang, you were in prison, you were a bandit, an outlaw. And imagine in that lifetime, you were in jail trying to bust out. And the voice that that there are gatekeepers that surround the physical, that are the intermediate energies between the physical world and the astral realm. And there was a entity of some sort or a gatekeeper that was demanding for you to identify yourself, meaning that.
No. I was demanding to, I wanted to identify the person that I thought was breaching my parameters, my safety parameters. It was, the voice was coming from my essence.
Oh, the voice was coming, the, who are you, was coming from you?
Yes.
Oh but it would, well, became male. That's probably because of the past life.
It was a male voice.
Yeah, because it was actually yourself confronting yourself. There's a piece of literature that I wrote about confronting yourself in terms of a past life energy, and
delusions.
You actually confront yourself.
Delusions.
Yeah. So you were actually confronting yourself in that body as an outlaw, saying, who are you? What do you, you know, so you were actually leaving your body, entering an astral realm, where in that astral realm you encountered yourself. But I'll tell you something else. Sometimes in terms of the gatekeeper that watches between dimensions, it can feel like the energy is you because the gatekeeper goes inside of you. You're in the astral realm, so your souls intermingle. And it can seem like one and the same. It can be very confusing because of the content of how souls intermingle. It's almost like two fleshly bodies becoming one. In the astral realm, a person's soul can become one with an entity for any amount of time. So that could have been another premise. You obviously had apparently had a past life in the Western days where you were an outlaw or in jail or imprisoned in some form. And so that's why you had this energy. Now the figure on the bench could have been the sheriff, could have been you. It was another figure in the setting of the energy. And what's strange about it is you are trying to elicit a response from the energy, but in many ways, these are phantoms. But they're phantoms. They're not real. They're there, but the substance of who they really are could be vacant, so they're zombie-like. But that's where the extent of your dream went, at least for this interpretation at this point in time.
Fascinating,
isn't it?
Yeah, and being in Arizona, maybe that's where you were jailed in a former lifetime. You should check out some of the old country jails and see if you see any fingerprints you left behind.
it could be, because I have no idea why I'm in the middle of Arizona. I'm like, I have four planets in Pisces, and I feel like a fish out of water here.
This is a typical more in-depth kind of investigation. You can either call back, or you could have a private reading, but. Or maybe not do anything and just go on your own and take note and investigate.
Yeah, the number to call Maggie is 562-596-7818. But we do appreciate your call, and hopefully that provided some insight into your dream for you.
That was fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's try to bring 908 on again. If not, hello, 908, are you there? We don't have anybody there, so I'm going to disconnect them. Okay. 724 is our next caller.
Hello.
Who's this?
My name is Jennifer, and I'm calling in from Texas. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you? You're doing well? Jennifer, did you say?
Yes, I'm Jennifer. I'm okay. I'm doing things. So this is my first time calling in.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you, Jennifer. It's a little bit hard to hear. So I don't know if you're on a headset. Are you on a headset?
No, but here, let me try something different real quick.
Okay.
Is it a little better now?
Much better. 1,000%
okay,
better. Jennifer, what's your birth date?
Okay, it's April 17th. 1979.
Where is she from?
She's from Texas, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said? 4, 5, 12, 22, and 6, 38, 11, 2.
Hmm.
Okay. 4, 8. That's really funny. Okay. Jennifer, what brings you to our show?
You know, I was just looking for some guidance. I'm in between jobs and trying to figure out what to do with myself and wondering what
okay.
I should be doing with my career.
All right. And you're born in 1979, so she's 36, is that right?
Mm-hmm. She's 37.
37, sorry. 37. I'm a year behind, Jennifer.
Well, you know, you're going to be making a big change this coming April.
Oh, yeah, 38.
So, first of all, you're making a change this coming April. You said you're between jobs. Now, have you ever had a job, Jennifer, where you gave people advice, even on a practical business level, or help guide them through something, even if it was just through some kind of business channel? Have you ever had to speak to anybody, like a customer or a client, where you had to converse with them on a level of giving them information or advice? Have you ever had to do that?
No, not like that. I mean, I've done customer service over the phone, but it was more scheduling,
that's what I mean.
Collection.
No. I'm involving the area of customer service too. Customer service is somebody talks to you, you're handling their problem, and you're leading them to some sort of direction or helping them get closure with their problem. Have you ever done that as customer service?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's all I meant. So
okay.
Yeah, that's all. You are trying to go to a deeper place, and we don't need to go there right now. This is what I mean, because I'm trying to figure out how to get you to the next place. Would you say that most of your jobs so far have been more or less common kind of jobs, nothing specialized, nothing advanced? Have they been basically common jobs or not?
Yeah, like administrative stuff.
Well, administrative stuff still gets into the power of direction and order, because you're administrating. So you have to have people beneath you, and administrators will often have to channel, guide, organize, direct people, information, et cetera.
You were talking like entry-level jobs. Is that what you're asking her? So administration would maybe be a little bit
mm-hmm.
higher level than what you were.
We're getting a little bit higher because I'm starting to estimate where to take you. I want to ask you something, Jennifer. Anybody in the family, or if not, is the month of May important to you? Anyone
born
then,
May.
Or does the month of May have any significance to you?
I have a cousin that I don't talk to. She's about 6 years younger than me. Her birthday's in May.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you not talk to her? Is there any family conflict or anything?
Oh, of course. I mean, it was on my dad's side. There's just been a lot of losses, a lot of deaths. Like, my father passed away, my grandfather passed away, my cousin passed away, and her dad passed away. And it's just like my whole dad's family, the communication wasn't very good to begin with, and everybody kind of struck off on their own. And she's doing well enough for herself, but there was really no relationship, unfortunately. But I did, you know, reach out to her to kind of let her know I'm here. But no, there's really no communication.
Okay, so let me explain something to you. We have to go to a deeper psychological place. What I tapped into was father gone, and you're relatively young, and a lot of men on his side of the family are gone. So what we're dealing with is an imbalance in your own male-female psyche. So there's something not balanced in your zone where you are, quote, between zones. You're caught between the male and female sides of your being. Here, the masculine side would mean in typical stereotype fashion, getting a job, being the being, you know, working at the sweat of your brow type of biblical origin. And you're having a problem. This has nothing to do with sexuality. It has to do with psyche. You're having a problem in your masculine psyche to get to penetrate, if you will, into the job world, and you're lost. So what would have to be done in your case would be to tap into your masculine side with that, and this is not sexuality, but your masculine side to get you to work diligently into the realm of job, make a penetration and have a quote conception, have a rebirth there. I think it's probably going to come when you're 38 anyways, but why wait? There's no reason why you need to wait. We're well within 9 months of April, and so you could start to activate that energy now. What you would need to do, in my estimation, would be to tap into your masculine psyche, your strengths. I'd have to examine, well, if we were doing a reading with you, Chris and I, we would have to examine this, the aspect of your male and female psyche within yourself, because obviously there's something not going right, and it's not, and you're not able to trigger enough energy to get to that job place where you have clarity and also fulfillment. So that leaves us in a sort of precarious situation in our discussion, but don't despair, because our discussion is opening up and revealing which direction to go to and how to get there.
Well, I can be assertive when I need to be. I actually feel like I don't fit in when I'm with a group of women because I'm too masculine. Not that I dress that way. It's just that I'm kind of tall, like a man, taller than most women that I meet. My husband is like, my fiance, he's like 6'7". He's been very supportive, but at the same time, also kind of critical in ways. I have gone
back
to school.
What's his birthday, Jennifer?
He is September 11th,
1979. Oh, boy.
I'm an Aries and he's a Virgo.
Yeah, we're a 9, 10, 11. I mean, we're more into...
I got an engineering degree.
She has an engineering degree.
You have an engineering degree, did you say? 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, an associate's. And I took a job working in manufacturing, and I worked with this production manager who used to swear at me and say all kinds of berating stuff and lie about my character. And I put up with it for 8 months, and I approached him one-on-one, and I even approached my supervisor who hired me, the VP, and he basically said that, yeah, the guy's an idiot, been with the company 30 years, and he's really good at what he does as far as, like, you know, handling the people on the floor, and we need him. So I waited a couple of more months and turned that over, and I just tried to, you know, deal with the situation. I was like, I'm not going to let somebody's bad behavior push me out of a good career. But at the same time, I just felt like it was so toxic, all the people around me. That I was like, this is just not for me. I need to move on and do something different. So I did finish my degree, and you know, I took a couple temporary assignments. This last job I had, it was for an auto warranty insurance company. And I was pretty happy with it, but I guess I just wasn't fitting in. I wasn't feminine enough or didn't dress right, and it was just shocking, you know. Like one day I wore a skirt that was too short in the front but long enough in the back, and you know, there were other people wearing stuff that, you know, I thought was against their dress code or whatever. And for whatever reason, they said that they were going to have a industry, they were expecting an industry recession and doing restructuring over the next couple of months. And then a week later,
well,
I was laid off, and it was kind
Jennifer,
of depressing,
Jennifer,
and I moved on.
Jennifer, let me explain something, and then I'll let you talk, Kristen. When we are talking about a confusion between male and female psyche, you're, even though, you know, you're a female and you say you dress like a man and you're tall and this kind of thing, it doesn't matter whether I'm implying that you need to get into your male psyche. What it means is that there's a convoluted sense sexuality in terms of the male and female psyche that's going on in your job conflict.
Because, you know, what I wanted to state also is about that balance, because there is a conflict. So there needs to be a balance. And her, Jennifer, when we talk about the male and female psyche, the female psyche is is represented by the number 3. The number 4 is the male psyche, and you actually have a 4 in your month, but on your karmic side of your birthday, your month and day, that 417 is actually reduces to a 3. It's a 12 equals 3. So it, you know, I mean, numerically it's in your code that conflict might arise in your lifetime. And that's what Neil was expressing earlier. So there needs to be something balanced in that regard. And by your very words, you're validating that.
See, and then also in the reading, you mentioned you mentioned your husband. Now your husband's born on the 11th of the month, and your karmic number is 38 equals 11 equals 2. You also have an 11 in your 4 and 7 mm-hmm. in your month and day.
And the master numbers become her karmic side, 417,
yeah.
1, 2,
it,
12,
it gets
3.
Pretty intense. But you know, we're analyzing that, Chris and I are analyzing your situation, determining first what ground you're on. That helps us to determine how to move you forward, which is a whole different process. Radio can't accommodate that.
But this is preliminary. Were you going to say something?
No.
So Jennifer, does that help a little bit, at least, you know, getting into the meat of what's going on and what needs to be solved in your life?
Well, I mean, a lot of things in life are just desire. You know, you want to be successful, you have desire, and if the desire is there, then you take action, and then that leads good things to happen. You know, I just, right now, I went to an interview with this valve company, and kind of got the impression, like, okay, I don't know if this guy that I'm replacing knows that he's on his way out the door, and if I make a mistake, am I going to be in the same situation 3 weeks from now? I don't want to deal with this again. I had 2 layoffs this year, and I'm done with it. Like, I wanted a company that's going to be steady, and, you know, I had an interview today with this transportation company, and the lady was very nice. She was like, how do you feel working with a team of women? You know, sometimes it can be bitches. I was like, I'm okay with that. I don't take anything too personal anymore. I'm really hoping that I hear back from this transportation company. I think that this would be good for me because it's close to home. It'll be at least my stepping stone to the next thing, you know.
Well,
I could do this for a while,
you know,
and it would give me peace of mind.
The chances are you probably will, but you said one sabotaging word that I would eliminate, at least for this reading on the radio, that I would eliminate from your conversation of thought, and that is you feel lost. You're between jobs. You said the word lost. Don't say that word, because if you're going to actualize your energy and then confuse it by utilizing the word lost in your mind's conversation, you're going to sabotage yourself and forever remain lost. So you want to say that you are direct, you know exactly what you want, set your brain with the right dialing system first so you don't get a wrong number, because you're actually misdialing by saying words that will promote not well-being.
Right, they're going to be counterproductive. Those words will be counterproductive to manifesting the energy that you want to manifest.
Right, and you're not lost. You are in the place you're in, so you're not lost. People say I'm lost, but you're not lost. You're standing in the ground in the place you're in. So identify where you are, and then from there, direct yourself to a firm, actual visualization leading to a firm, actual conclusion.
And Jennifer, you're always welcome to call back. We do have to move on to other callers, but hopefully that revealed a little bit more than you previously knew before you called the show. And sometimes uncovering this type of information, like the imbalance in the male and female psyche, can help you manifest the results that you desire if you go forward. And you're always, like I said, welcome to call the show again, or you can call for after the show, 562-596-7818, to talk further.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Blessings.
You're very welcome. Take care. Okay, 916 is our next caller. And these are unmuting kind of slow, so forgive me for the pauses here. 916.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. Yeah, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Hi. How are you?
Great. Good. You had my birthday, don't you? 8/2/51.
Yes.
Okay, great. What happened? What I wanted to relate is that I've had many experiences in astral traveling and lucid dreaming, and I just wanted to relate one that I had recently. It's real quick.
Oh, perfect.
I was in bed, and I woke up, and I looked at the clock, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and I heard there was a big parade going by. It was drums and bugles, and they were singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, why do we have a parade going by at 3:30 in the morning? I couldn't figure it out. And then I tried to get up. I had to see this parade, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move from the spot. And then all of a sudden, I did wake up. I looked at the clock, and it was 3:30 in the morning. And I'm thinking, whoa, where was I at that moment? I actually thought I was awake the first time. So
wow.
But I've gotten a lot of things like that where I felt like I was in the same room, but other things happened around it, other dimensions. So I was curious what you saw.
Right.
Yeah. What happened there, Nancy, was you astral projected. You didn't go far from your sleeping body, your soul, your astral body. Your astral body was able to see the clock and report back to your sleeping body that it was 3:30. But what your astral body was also looking at was a view from a past life at the same time. So imagine it's like a science fiction film. Your astral body then went over to the window and looked out the window and saw a parade going by, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Now, that astral body of yours was looking at a past life.
She was in a band.
Yeah. She was in a band. Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. You could have been witnessing angels singing. You could have been in some kind of procession. You might have been in some kind of Mardi Gras thing. There was something that the astral body was viewing in terms of looking at a past life. I don't think this was future. And while it was doing it, you were witnessing at the same time the information that the astral body was witnessing. Now, in coming back to the body, the astral body now is eventually coming back because you're starting to actually wake up. You woke up before the actual astral body, your actual body came, went back into your body. So that's where the frozen energy comes from. It usually comes in when the astral body is going back into the sleeping body and the sleeping body is waking up too soon. It leaves you in a frozen state because the landing isn't complete yet. So it becomes a shock to the body until the astral body soaks itself back into the body and you're able to regain your physical reflexes. But that's where that came from. The only part of the dream that really, if for our general purposes, would be outstanding in question would be, you know, what that parade actually
consisted of. What the content
of
it, what kind of... what kind of past life could that have been?
Well, the 3:30 was either when the 3:30 could have been a date, March 3rd. It could have been a Trinity factor, upon a Trinity factor regarding religion because of the
Hallelujah.
It could have been the time that you died. You could have been looking at your own funeral.
But then it was actually 3:30 in the morning when she woke up.
Because 3:30 was in a past life, that might have been when she actually died.
Right.
Or had a funeral.
I have a question because, you know, Nancy's talking about thinking she was awake in this dream, first of all, and then actually waking up. And versus, like, this experience versus the lucid dream where you're aware that you're dreaming, what's the difference? Because this happened to me recently where I thought I was awake and I was watching activity on the ceiling, and then I actually forced myself awake. You know,
well,
that wasn't really a lucid dream, is it? That's not a lucid dream.
Being, quote, awake in a dream can occur both on a psychological level and an astral level.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel like you're in control or awake, whether you're in a sleeping state in the body or a sleeping state outside of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that consciousness is still available to you according to the environment that you're in, the region that you're in, whether it's personal or outside of the person.
Right, but isn't a lucid dream where you are in the dream knowing that you're dreaming rather than being in a dream thinking you're awake? Or is it Is there a double meaning to lucid dreaming?
Sorry, Nancy,
we're getting a little bit off topic here.
There's several layers of consciousness. Just as there are several layers of insight, there's several layers of intelligence, there's several layers of physical activity. In the dream world, there are multi-levels of feeling and multi-levels of participation. So you just have to choose which level you're at and what chakra you're dealing with.
Right. Now, Nancy, did you have additional questions here? We kind of got off track a little bit.
No. You answered the question because, like I said, I can tell the difference between a lucid dream and astral travel just from my experiences, because usually when I astral travel, I can tell I am still in the same surroundings, but I'm in another dimension.
Right.
I can see other people either come in. I can tell the difference. Where if I'm in a dream, I'm aware I'm in a dream, but it's totally different. You know, it's
exactly.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's all. But you answered my question, yeah, so I have to figure out where that was.
Right, and where the past life lies, because it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the band and the
yeah, you have you singing. Can you can trace it to some historical line of
religion.
This lifetime, or some historical line of restitution, or the revision of your spirit from body to spirit in terms of some of the revelations you've had and the rebirths you had within your own lifetime.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Nancy, hopefully that helps
okay.
you today.
Oh, it does. It's very interesting. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, 917. Hello.
Yes. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Tina. Thank you for having your show today.
Oh, thank you for calling, Tina. Where are you calling
You're welcome.
From? Is this New York number?
Yep, I live in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes.
Okay, and welcome to the show. Have we spoken with you before? I don't think we have.
Yes, a long time ago.
Oh, we did, so I don't remember you. I apologize. Usually I'm pretty good about that.
No problem. No, I don't call often. Thank you.
What's your birth date, Tina?
11/27.
And the year?
73. I don't want to ask about my boyfriend, too, so I can give his birthday quick.
Yeah, please.
But his birthday is 1/8/67.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm adding this up here, 9/19/13.
Thank you.
And what's your question regarding?
Just my relationship, what is very happy for us.
Well, there is definitely...
Do you want to explain some things?
No, not really. You go ahead. I mean, there's a lot going on between the two of you on a karmic level, certainly. The months add to 2 to 3, which is your number. The years...
Or lines?
They're not... 67 and 73.
Yeah, 6 and 7 is 67, and 7 and 3 is 73.
Oh, yeah, they align. What am I
saying? Your years align.
They align, 73, yeah. So you're 6 to his... your 7 to his 6 become his year. His 7 to your 3 becomes your year. When you put an X between the years, the 7 to the 7 becomes a 14-5, which is his master number. I haven't even added up. 35, 8. The days, Tina, become your master number. So 27 + 8 is 35. That's 3 and 5, which are your respective master numbers. So I wasn't going to talk, but I am talking.
But,
go ahead.
But that's all true. And so what it amounts to is that your boyfriend and you come from you're an extension of a relationship from a past life. You've had a past life. With you. And that past life was not complete.
And it happens a lot, Tina, and we talk to a lot of people. Karmic connections are so common. So it's not surprising. Surprising.
Oh.
So you're meeting again to fulfill what was not complete in the past life, but you're also meeting to continue from that point on.
And of course, his 8 in the day is the master numbers combined as well. that.
Now, that doesn't necessarily guarantee a fulfilling relationship. What it establishes is the necessity of meeting and why you've met. What you do in terms of continuing your relationship with him will be based partially on the karma of what you have to do and what needs to be done, just opposed to the transcendent quality of where the both of you will decide to go on a creative level. Who has two animals? Does one of you have a pet?
No, I had two pets, but I gave them away. I had two puppies. I gave them
so
away.
So that's what Neil's picking up on. So you had two pets at one time, but you gave them away.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Did you give them away while you were involved with your boyfriend?
Somewhat. He travels a lot, but I gave them away because I couldn't really watch them. I worked a lot.
But were you with the boyfriend at the time you gave them away?
Yes.
Were you in the relationship? Yes.
Yeah. Those two puppies that you gave away while you knew your boyfriend represents the fact that in a past life you had children with your boyfriend.
Oh.
So in a past life you had children with your boyfriend, and for some reason in that past life your children went astray. You either gave them up for adoption, or there was a divorce, or something happened to, in the past life story, the children were lost to you. Something happened.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any children? Yeah. Do you have any children in this lifetime?
Yes, I have two.
Two.
See? So now the two puppies become that. Now as we move forward, we take the two puppies, which represent the past life storyline, even though they're puppies, and now they're replaced with two real children, which now means that the energy is morphing in this lifetime from the concept of puppy, dog, animal, to human being. And you had those two children from another relationship?
Yes.
Which suggests that the one you have with your boyfriend, that's why you had a problem in that relationship with children, because in this lifetime you have two children, probably the result now of a divorce, where that
yes.
don't belong to this boyfriend, and yet he's involved in your life while you actually have these two children. See?
Yes.
So we're starting to put together for you the basic outline of your story with your boyfriend. And we can already see that there are very interesting connections being considered here.
Yes.
Was there a specific quick question before we move on to our next caller? Because we only have a few more minutes in the show regarding the relationship or?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Tina, good luck. And hopefully we've helped you today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. One last caller and a couple minutes left. Cheryl, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Okay.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in
there. 7766 mm-hmm. and 369. What's going on?
I had a big relationship issue. His birthday is 12/21/69.
69. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, and I just am trying to see if this is just a turning point within the relationship, or more like a sign of needing closure. I don't know.
Well,
there. This is the same thing. Your years are aligned, Cheryl. 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, you see, both month and day and day.
Yeah, I know they're
both
the same.
Month and day and day add up to the same amount of
right,
numbers.
Right, 10 and 10. 7/21/7/21.
And then your years are aligned and become each of your years.
And they become a 13/4 together.
Yeah.
Right. 13/4.
Which is
his master.
It's a mess. You're entangled in a messy relationship that doesn't really ever have closure. I mean, I don't know if you can really consider that you have to find a specific closure in this relationship. You may have to move on without having the proper closure. Is it over? No. But can the physical bodies demand can one physical body such as him say, I'm done, I'm not doing this, I'm getting out of here? Yes. Doesn't mean it's over. It means that karma is still trailing. So you have a relationship that has karma energies to it. Now, in your respect, if he leaves without there being closure for you and he does not return, what you should do is just give him the energy and move on and not dwell on it, not become obsessed with it, because it will be his responsibility for having abandoned a relationship. The only problem you'll have.
I think it's a matter if I move on.
Well, then,
you know,
that's fine. Just, you know, it's the same shirt, just turn it inside out. You may have to wonder whether you want to move on because you can't figure him out, or doesn't have his act together. You actually have the power here, because 9 and 4 becomes a 13 or a 4. And what happens in that energy is that your 9 goes into his 4. But still, your 9 is more powerful than his energy. So you can adapt and change and follow a different path. I wouldn't necessarily say it's over, but I would say that you have to make a concrete decision. We don't have time to go into more depth.
Yeah, we just got the 90-second warning here.
Okay. All right, well, that helps.
Okay, take care, Cheryl.
I took note. Thank you, guys. Take care. Okay.
All right, we're back on the air at 10 a.m. on Friday this week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Bye-bye.